Ovarian cancer is among the scariest diagnoses you can receive. 21,000 new patients will be diagnosed with the disease this year. More than 14,000 will die. A bleak outlook calls for aggressive therapy, and in the case of ovarian cancer, there is a treatment that is aggressive, a form of chemotherapy that pumps tumor-fighting drugs directly into a patient's abdomen. A 2006 study found that a 16-month or greater life extension benefit to a woman's life comes from this treatment. But nearly a decade after that research was released, fewer than half of all ovarian cancer patients receive this difficult abdominal treatment. Alexei Wright, gynecologic oncologist and professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, was first author on a study published this week on the use of the abdominal treatment known as intraperitoneal, or IP treatment. She says the treatment's 16-month life extension is much more significant than it sounds.
16 months is about a quarter extra lifespan to a woman's life who has stage 3 ovarian cancer. It also may mean the difference between cure and not for many women.
And so we're not talking about, keeping someone alive for 16 months in a condition where the quality of life is profoundly impaired or reduced. We're talking about something that could mean the difference between really life or death in some cases.
That's a really important point, John. You know, many people think of prolonging life and that quality of life not being good. In this case, we're talking about potentially curative treatment, the first treatment that a woman receives after undergoing surgery for ovarian cancer. And in the clinical trial that was done in 2006, women who got this chemotherapy, even though it was more difficult to go through, their quality of life was the same or better a year after the treatment compared with those who had gotten traditional intravenous chemotherapy. So we're not talking about prolonging poor quality of life. We're talking about potentially extending people's lives and potentially improving cure.
So what explains the fact that most women, fewer than half, of all ovarian cancer treatments receive this abdominal chemotherapy?
This is a really good question, and not one that our particular study was designed to answer. However, one of the reasons we did this study was we thought that when doctors read about how difficult it was for people to actually take intraperitoneal chemotherapy from the clinical trial in 2006, we were worried that they might not want to put patients on it. This study was the first time we looked at clinical practice to try to see, did doctors actually use the treatment after the National Cancer Institute and so many professional societies recommended doing it? Or, in fact, did they avoid it or did they modify it so it might be easier for patients to go through at the premier cancer centers in the country? And what we found was, surprisingly, there were huge differences in whether women got these therapies based upon where they sought care. So in some centers, only 4% of women who actually could get this treatment did, whereas in others, 67% of patients got it. Surprisingly, we found that the treatment, even when it was given in a modified fashion, still had that incredible survival benefit that had been seen in clinical trials.
So part of what we're looking at here is possibly a oncology culture of sort of demoralization where doctors are just really torn between putting a patient through something that could represent a huge amount of misery, even though these statistics suggest that on the other side, there may be great benefit.
So I would say doctors hate harming patients. You know, our first dictum is first do no harm. And what we see here in the ways that doctors modify the treatments is they were trying to give women the same benefit without harming them. And what this study really shows is that this can be done in clinical practice, and the survival benefits still exist. And to me, that's a really important message saying that this is a feasible treatment that will help women live longer.
What do you say to a doctor who may be listening who knows that they've not recommended this treatment because they did believe that it would represent a huge, torturous burden on the patient?
It's never too late to do the right thing. And so I say adopt this practice moving forward. But I don't think that it's been the standard of care. It's something that should be the standard of care, but it's been difficult to give to patients. It requires extra nursing. It requires a center that's really experienced in giving intraperitoneal chemotherapy. It requires a lot of the patients because it's more intensive treatment. The thing is that we have learned from this study that this is possible to do, not just in clinical trials where there's lots of extra support, but actually in real practice.
So what's the pitch to patients who maybe are worried about ovarian cancer or who have even been diagnosed with ovarian cancer? What's your pitch to them to say that, in fact, it's not pleasant, but you can handle it?
Yeah. So for me, when I talk to patients about this, you know, I say it short term, this is going to be more difficult. But we are going to know at the end of the day that we've given you the best treatment we have and that there's going to be short-term suffering for hopefully long-term gain. And I think the question is, you know, patients who are going to different centers, because I think in looking at this and seeing that there were such differences between centers where the patients really aren't that different, it means that to some extent, this is a little bit on patients to ask their doctors about intraperitoneal chemotherapy and whether they're a candidate.
Can patients change things as a result of this information from this report?
Absolutely. When they go meet their doctor, or if you have a friend who has ovarian cancer, you can ask whether you're a candidate for intraperitoneal chemotherapy.
Dr. Alexei Wright is a gynecologic oncologist and assistant professor of medicine at the Harvard Medical School. Dr. Wright, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.